because it didn't quite just, it didn't quite feel like how I thought it would.
Yep.
I wasn't just like, let's go. I was like, this is a really weird time for me to go. Mm-hmm. But this is the time when the Lord's allowing it to happen. So I feel like I need to choose to be obedient and choose to have faith and that he knows the timing of this and it's okay.
Hi, welcome to the Hard to Hope podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Megan.
And I'm Sally. And we're here to talk about when it's hard to hope walking with Jesus and walking out our faith.
We're passionate about seeking revival for our generation and believe that a key to that is by pursuing authentic personal relationship with the Lord, even when it's hard.
So we're here for the journey of taking things from our heads to our hearts. So come along with us and we'll walk it out together.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Hard to Hope podcast.
Yes.
We are like giddy. I'm giddy right now.
Because, of course, every time the microphones have to have something going on with them, but we're hoping this quality will be like way better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're together.
And we're together again. It's been, oh my gosh, I didn't even figure that out. How long has it been?
Do you know when we last recorded?
No.
It was before.
It'd been in May. Before
right?
May?
Right? Or did
we? Maybe.
I know I recorded one in like the end or middle of June after Ecuador with Allie.
Yep.
And then I did one alone. I don't know when that was. Probably July. And then they didn't hear from us August, September, or October. It's November.
It's
welcome,
November
guys.
November 1st. Oh, I got to pay rent. Yep.
Did I have to pay rent? I think I did.
That's so fun. We're together again.
Yes.
Yeah, it did. It took a little longer than expected, which is fine. We're both in busy seasons of life.
Yeah.
And we're both wanting to continue the podcast, but needing it to be a little more flexible.
Which I like what you said on the Instagram.
Yeah.
That we're just going to like do it as we're able to, because why not?
We want to, but it can't be as strict as it was before.
Yeah.
Which is fun and fine.
Yep.
And we're together today.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yes.
Cool. Yay.
Okay. So this episode is going to be me interviewing Megan on Madagascar.
Yeah.
And actually, I haven't heard any of this stuff either. So this is like me hearing it for the first time as crazy. We're recording.
I feel like I haven't shared it a lot.
Okay.
With very many. Well, like besides people who I'm close with who have asked.
Yeah.
Like I haven't shared it any other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't like spoke anywhere or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So here it is, guys.
So here it
you
is.
You heard it here first, kind of. Okay.
It's exciting.
So do you want me to go right into like my questions about it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell us first, like when you went and what you were doing in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Really simply.
Okay. So I went and served with Mercy Ships, which for anybody who doesn't know what that is, I guess we can start there. Mm-hmm. It is a non-for-profit organization that provides medical care to areas of crises, areas in need. So I specifically went and served in Toamasina, Madagascar, and it is a third world country. And I was on the boat for 3 months, and the boat goes to one location and actually stays there for about a year. Usually they make a contract with the government for how long they're going to be there. Usually they do it in 6 month stints, but they got there at the beginning of 2025 and they'll be there until December of 2025. And they actually just got a new contract that they're coming back in the spring. They'll be there for another 6 months, which is really cool.
Same spot.
Same spot, which is awesome. Cause they'll be able to do some follow up too.
Okay.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an entire hospital on a ship. So I served personally in the pediatric ward. So I got to, it's all surgical. It's a completely surgical organization. So people who come on aren't necessarily having acute medical crises. They need surgeries. So they, do like a giant intake the first few months that they're in the country and set up a proposed surgery schedule.
Okay.
And then there's actually like a whole process, which I can talk about now or at some point, of how people get to the ship and kind of the whole process of that.
Okay.
But essentially once they get to the ship, they find out if it's a final yes or no. And when it's a final yes, they get admitted to somewhere called the Hope Center, which is like their outpatient center.
Okay.
Which is not medical. Nope. It's about a mile away from the ship.
Okay.
They set up a center and it's not medical. It's just to house people and feed them until they can come to the ship. Then they get admitted onto the ship.
Mm-hmm.
They do pre-op and
just like clearance,
anything like that before, which usually they set that up on the docks, which includes doctors and nurses and rehab and nutrition. And then once they go through that and they get the yes for surgery, then they get admitted onto the ship and they get admitted to the wards, which is where I worked. And then they go to the OR and then they come back to the wards from the OR. And then depending on what surgery they had, if it was like a something they could go home the next day or something they had to be with us for 4 weeks, mm-hmm. they would stay in the wards until they're ready to go home. Or if they didn't live locally, they got discharged to the Hope Center so that they could continue to do follow-up for however long they needed to.
Okay.
So, and if they needed to do follow-up, they would come back to where the shipyard and on the docks, they would follow up then with outpatient and rehab again and nutrition if they needed it. So there's lots of different departments. So pre-op, nutrition, the actual hospital itself, the OR, the PACU nurses, outpatient nurses. Yeah, lots of different teams.
So you don't
teams.
Have to do everything. You're not on there as like a, nope, I do all.
I was in there and worked in the ward specifically. Only. Yep. Okay. But there's nurses in all the different departments and doctors and physical therapists and nutritionists. Okay. Yeah.
So just you like a hospital there. Would be.
Just like a hospital would be.
Not like you're in the OR, then you go to the ward, then you're like.
Yeah, I worked within my specialty, which is pediatrics.
Okay.
Yep. So what was your actual question? That's what Mercy Shift is.
Background and when you were there.
Yeah, that's what I did. And I was there from, I left here June.
Like 5th or something?
5th, maybe? That sounds right. I got to look. I left here on a Friday. I know that. I left June 6th and I came back August 25th to the States. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dang.
It's about 11 weeks. Yeah.
11 weeks?
On the ship.
Okay. So then...
traveling. Yep.
Will you tell us the progression of like... I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could do it in a quick way because I know it all has tied in since like you starting nursing kind of.
Yeah.
So, and you started like LPN, then RN, right? And then... So how, I don't know if you want to explain a little bit of the backstory of how you ended up on Mercy Ships and then like, I don't, the way that God worked that out, because at least from what you've said, I have heard that it was like all God, he prepared you for this specifically, even when you like entered nursing and like how he orchestrated all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have considered doing something like Mercy Ships or like Samaritan's Purse since before I even got into nursing school, like even into my LPN program. So when I was at Elam Bible Institute in like 2015, 2016, I saw a pamphlet for Samaritan's Purse, and I still have the clipping. It's on my fridge.
Okay.
Of a nurse in, I think it was like Mosul or something, like during the bombings, and was just taking care of a pediatric patient. And I was like, yep, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. I want to give medical care to people who don't have access to medical care.
Yeah.
So it's been something that's been on my mind for a long time. Mercy Ship specifically came a few years later. And my idea with doing Mercy Ships at first, honestly, was like, I want to do like things like Samaritan's Purse and more critical things. And so like, this is a good way to get kind of my feet wet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very interested in Mercy Ships and felt like it was a good... like things like Samaritan's Purse, like their DART program and things like that are more... like more remote and it's like you, like there's way less resources and you're working way more and kind of scarier situations, whatever. So Mercy Ships felt like a good way to like do that, but like in kind of a controlled environment, I guess.
Yeah.
And also have other resources around.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been looking into it for years, started nursing so that I could do stuff like this, which is really cool. But I did have a period of time after I moved back to Lowellville where I felt like the Lord kind of took the desire away a little bit. Like I felt like I moved back and I could have applied then for stuff because you need so many years of experience.
Yes.
And I was an LPN before I was an RN. So then they wanted so many years of RN experience specifically and like down to like, did you work full time for 2 years, you know, and I worked some part-time hours and things like that. I did feel like for a minute that the Lord kind of took that away or just like it wasn't as prevalent on my mind. And I felt like the Lord was telling me to just be present in Lowellville and to build community and to just enjoy the season that
I
was
in.
Is that
when you scaled back hours or no?
I did some then too when I moved back. Yeah. Cause I was driving and things like that.
Yeah.
Which that was all interesting too, because I remember during that time feeling like, well, I'm not very connected to people right now. Like, wouldn't this be a good time to go? Like, I don't really have anything else going on. So like, maybe I should go do this now.
Yeah.
And going now, like being, it, the timing felt a little weirder because I am so connected in this community yeah. and doing so much here before I left that it almost felt like, oh, why now? Why not 2 years ago when I said I could go then?
Yeah.
But I like can't imagine doing the 3 months that I just did without having the community that I have now. Like I would have been not as covered, maybe not as, but like I was so covered in prayer and in support and in encouragement
yeah.
going now more than I would have been 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Even though 2 years ago I was like, this makes more sense to go now than when I'm actually invested here and have yeah. roots here and stuff like that. Yeah. So the Lord, that's just a testament. The Lord knows the timing of all that way better than we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I kind of talked about this, I think in maybe the New Year's episode, but when I left upstate, that's kind of when I decided, okay, I'm actually going to apply to Mercy Ships. And I felt like the door was open to do that.
Which was like a year ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. So I did that. And by January, I think I knew that I was going
okay.
to Madagascar and that it was going to be over the summer months. I didn't know the exact dates. I don't think yet, but yeah. And then just started planning for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then are you ready for the next question?
Yeah.
If you want to start more toward the beginning, cause I'm guessing there was like orientation before regular shifts started and stuff, mm-hmm. but like, what was a day there like, and you were on a schedule, right? Like you actually had rest and stuff. I feel like I remember mm-hmm. you saying like, oh, days off. Like this yeah. is actually a thing.
Yeah.
So just like how that worked for, it's mm-hmm. like 11 weeks and you'd think like intensive, but then also having that downtime
yeah.
and being there.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't expect to have like as much free time, I think, as I did, which is good because right. I was there for 11 weeks. It's not yeah. like I was only there for 5 days and you could just go.
Right.
So yeah, it was just like a normal, I mean, what I would do here, like on an 8 hour shift. Mm-hmm. We only worked eights, which was really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had shifts that were longer than that just because I did charging at the end. And so I had to stay later for a couple things.
What is that?
Like charge nurse.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were that immediate? Excuse me, immediately?
Yeah. Oh. They asked me after like 3 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
But they do that because there's such a high turnover.
Yeah.
That they ask people pretty quickly, okay. like if they'll step into that role.
And you came in with a bunch of other people? Like, is that a time that people start, or do people start like every day there's someone new and every day someone's leaving?
Every like 2 weeks or so there's new people, but the group size differs. I went in with probably like more than 10 people, and some other weeks there's only like 2 people starting.
Okay.
So yeah, it just kind of varies. Okay. It depends on their needs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, typical day, they served us breakfast, lunch, and dinner in a cafeteria, like style. So that was like prepared for us. It was a little hard, like eating gluten free.
Yeah.
That's something they're like working on right now. You couldn't like guarantee gluten free food basically. So it was like a little bit trickier, to kind of figure out some meals. But other than that, I didn't have to cook for myself, which was nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, depending on what shift I did. So you didn't just do one of the shifts. You did all of them. They kind of rotated you through them.
Yeah.
So you do part of the month day shift, which was 7 to 2:30. Part of the month you do evening shifts, which was 2 to 10. And then part of the shifts you do part of the month, you do the night shift until 7 a.m.
Okay.
So yeah, it was kind of all over the place. So it depended on what shift you did.
Yeah.
I worked a lot of evening shifts. And so that was nice because I was still able to like wake up at a decent time because you got done at 10 and like have breakfast, do my devotions, hang out like in midship area, which is like just this giant like open space in the middle of the ship that has like couches and a cafe and things like that, where I hung out there a lot and just kind of chilled waiting for stuff.
Yeah.
Or you could go off the ship with people and hang out and go into town. I spent a lot of time in the library because it was the quietest place on the ship.
Yeah.
Everywhere else had people all the time. And you okay. like literally could not get away from people.
Okay.
That was probably one of the harder things like socially.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time doing that. It was really great. Like I spent time every day with the Lord when I was on the ship. And that was so good.
Yeah.
And I've gotten away from that since I've been home, which has been sad, and I just need to be more disciplined, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I like loved that part of it, like I had time, because you're not as distracted mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Like you're on a ship.
Yeah.
and you could maybe go out if you found people to go out with, but otherwise you're waiting until your shift.
Yeah.
So like there was time to do stuff like that. If you didn't, just fill it with other things.
Yeah.
So that was really special for me.
Was there like a gym on the ship and stuff?
Yep,
like,
there's
did it
a
have
gym.
All the, like mm-hmm. a hotel kind of, but
yeah. Yep. There's a gym, outdoor and indoor. Did that a little bit.
And is food, all the food or cafes or whatever's there, like already free to you? Like, did you raise support to be on that?
I didn't. So typically if someone goes onto Mercy Ship, they have to pay for their flights and they have to pay crew fees. All of that was waived for me. They paid all of it because it's like a high need time right now.
Okay.
So they paid for my flights and paid for my crew fees. But so part of the crew fees includes like food.
Okay. So you didn't have to cover things while you
so
were
I didn't cover
but
any
you
of
weren't
that.
Paid either.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So I paid for like other in between stuff, but.
Or like if you wanted to go out and buy things.
Right. Just, yeah. But no, all that's covered. And it was like set meal times. Like it wasn't just buffet all the time. It was like set from here to here, we're giving lunch. From here to here, we're giving dinner. What else? I spent a lot of time at the cafe.
Were there
we had coffee, cheap coffee, 75 cent lattes.
Oh, yes.
75 cent lattes.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Love that.
So good.
And
yeah.
And they're like
games, like stuff, games, puzzles, things like that.
What about like Bible study or worship, or like church, like what?
Yeah. There was some Bible studies. And then like once, I think on Thursday nights, they had a, what they called like a community gathering, which was like everybody could come and they did worship and devotions. And then there was like individual devotion groups. On Sunday mornings, we were encouraged to visit local churches. And Sunday evening, we had a service right on the ship.
Okay.
Which was fun. Which I ended up like getting involved with worship like almost right away.
On the ship?
On the ship.
On the ship. Okay.
I did a couple. there's a girl and her fiance who led spontaneous worship nights. So I did that like two or three times for them. Just they're like, can you come? And I was like, oh, sure. And I ended up being on the worship team a few times for the Sunday evening services, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And ended up just like doing, not, we didn't do it consistently, but met a couple times with some girls who I'd come on with to do like Bible study together. Cool. So that was really fun. Special too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love that.
I then would go on shift and work.
And that was.
And have breaks. It was great.
Was it intense? Did you like see things you've never seen or is it like, no, this is just
the actual
normal?
Nursing itself?
Yeah.
I would not describe it as intense. I saw things that I've never seen before, but that's mostly because like there's these like medical, it seems like medical phenomenons you read about in the US that you don't see in the US. Like you don't see kids who are bow-legged in the US, or you see knock knees and clubfoot and stuff like that. But
what about
and you don't
palates,
see like
or cleft lips? Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm, yep. So they did surgical blocks. So depending on what surgeon they could get, because the surgeons rotated every 2 weeks.
So they would do like a million surgeries in two
weeks? So they do a bunch in 2 weeks and then leave. And then a new person would come in. There's so much turnover.
Yeah.
That's another part about, like, side note about Mercy Ships. Like, so many people who work with them say, like, it should not work as well as it does because there's so much turnover. The surgeons switch out every 2 weeks. There is permanent staff there who's there, like, for two years. But like a lot of the nursing is there for a minimum. You have to be there for a minimum of 8 weeks. For ward nursing, I was there for 11. There's other like the PACU nurses only have to be there for a minimum of 2 weeks. Like there's so much turnover.
Are they more specialized then? Like for the requirements for you versus like obviously the surgeon for 2 weeks or the PACU nurse? Like is it like, okay, now you have to have like 10 years of experience or something to like really have it?
I think the experience part is pretty similar. I'm not sure about the surgeons.
Okay. Well, obviously they already have more schooling to begin with.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure about them, but. Yeah, that people just say like it shouldn't work as smoothly as it does because there's so much turnover.
That's cool.
And so like even the orientation process and like that's why I got asked to be charge nurse within 3 weeks too. Like it's all so streamlined and like the same because it has to be so that there can be that much turnover.
Yeah.
But like the fact that it works so smoothly is like the Lord, like nothing else but Jesus is making it all happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe the nursing itself as hard or intense. It was very basic nursing. There was like an ICU if people needed to be in the ICU, but there's only a couple patients who needed to be in ICU level during my 11 weeks there. And those were patients who like massive tumor removals, like massive, and they needed to like stay intubated after surgery or something like that for a day. Definitely stuff I've never seen before, like never seen that much of deformity in legs or those big of tumors before in my life, or adults with cleft palate and cleft lip. I've never seen that. I've only seen babies.
Yeah. What about
crazy stuff like that for sure? But like the nursing care itself was very basic.
Okay.
A lot of oral meds, some IV meds, definitely put in some IVs, definitely had people come in again. Like it wasn't medical, but if someone was at the Hope Center and they were sick, they would come to the hospital. So then they would be more of a medical patient versus a surgical patient.
Okay.
So definitely had some sick people, but like nothing that felt like too far for me, for my skills in the area.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was fun because I felt like a little bit of a, cause I am a peds nurse. Like I did feel like all the background that I've had, like in the pediatric ER and trauma center and stuff like that, I was able to bring a lot of like valuable information to the wards. So that was kind of cool.
That's really cool. And then what about language barrier? Like do even nurses speak different languages, or how does that work with like even meds and like amounts and all that?
So they did, right. So everything was the same, like everything was one way, cause there was nurses from everywhere. I mean, I worked with nurses from Australia, New Zealand, different parts of Africa, different Hispanic countries, like literally everywhere.
Okay.
So yeah, we used all the same, like we used one, a lot of it was like Americanized, but not all of it. Like some of the, like they called Tylenol paracetamol.
Okay.
That's what they call it, I think, in England, maybe. Like, okay. I don't know. Like,
so
it's
did
very,
you learn some of this stuff right when you got on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, they use the, like, kilograms and milligrams and things like that.
Like the usual medical units.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yep. So everything was just, like, you had to learn how to do it their way. Yeah. And, like, that was one of the things they said, like, in orientation. Like, you'll find that we do things differently than you do it at home. But, like, you need to learn our way. Like, you just need to, because you're only here for this amount of time and we're here for a long time. And so like, even if it's just for a short time, like learn to do our way. And that way everybody's doing it the same.
Yeah.
And it was all paper charting.
Oh dang.
Have except you done that for before? When I, not to that extent.
Okay.
And except for when I did charge nursing, some of that was on the computer, but all their charts and meds and all the records were written down, which was crazy.
That must've been a lot for you guys then.
Yeah, it was a lot, it was a bit of a learning curve. The first week felt very overwhelming. Like it almost felt too simplified that it could be harder, but you just got the hang of it. And just, again, we're used to doing things their way, even if it didn't quite make sense.
Yeah.
Like somewhere else.
Yeah.
Which like even some of that, I felt like I was in a place where they asked for my feedback if I felt like something could be changed. But like the majority of it, you just learn how to do it the mercy ship way for the time you're there. Cause then you're leaving and they got to keep it up. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So yeah, like the basic nursing care was the same, vitals, oral medications, IV, all my assessments. And then charge nursing, that was probably the most challenging part for me nursing wise, just cause I'd never done that before. But like, I think I was ready like to step into that. And I think like I felt competent to do that. And I think it did help actually my confidence a lot to actually in nursing to be like, okay, no, I come with a wealth of experience. Mm-hmm. Like I still have a lot to learn, but like I have experience and I can bring that, and felt confident to like make decisions, make leadership decisions, make clinical judgment decisions and that's awesome. Like feel good about it. So that was probably the most challenging part, but like really good for me too.
Yeah.
Helped me grow a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I had another question, but I forgot it at the moment. I'm here. I'm riveted.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go.
You so could. Cool. You should.
It's so cool.
Asked about language.
Yeah, were there translators?
Yeah. So we had a group of the staff was called Day Crew, and they were actually like Malagasy, like they were from Madagascar. And so they worked as kind of like nurses' aides a little bit, but also translators. So that was super helpful. So they were like right by your side whenever you needed anything. You could just be like, can you come with me? Mm-hmm. And you do all the care together so that they could translate in real time.
So you could be like, I'm going to put an IV in you. And then they could tell them like you're about to have.
They were literally right next to you. Okay. And they've been doing it for a year. You know what I mean? So they know really how the ship operates too and how things. So that's really helpful too. They know like so much information. And even though they're not medically trained because they've been around it for so long, they know how to like explain things to people in their language and things like that. So yeah, that was really helpful and fun to like get to know them in that way too, because they could speak English, mm-hmm. obviously, because they're translating. So to get to know some Malagasy people in that way too, and like become like develop friendships with them and stuff.
Did you learn some phrases?
Some, yeah, but like not enough at all. Just like some random words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, not fast forward. What's the other one? Reverse backward.
Yep.
So you said there's a time when nursing or the dream kind of felt like it had gone away of like Mercy Ships mm-hmm. or Samaritan's Purse or whatever you were going to do. Wait, is that what it's called? Samaritan's mm-hmm. Purse.
Yep.
Okay. What am I saying? Okay.
It's like when you say a word and you're like, that is like, not right.
I'm like, am I saying a missions organization or some sort of fashion thing? Okay. I'm like, wait, why purse?
A purse.
I don't even know. Anyway, when you felt like the dream had sort of died, like, did it feel like you were in a bit of like a, okay, so I'm back in Lowellville. Mm-hmm. That seems to be gone. I'm still working as a nurse, but don't really have the like mm-hmm. fire there anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, how long did that last? Or like, how did the Lord bring you through that? And then to a place where you were like, actually, mm-hmm. I want to do this again.
Yeah.
Or like the door opened where it wasn't, I don't know. Where the hope hadn't been like completely sucked to where you were just like, well, I'm not even going to look into that because that's just done. Like that wasn't a thing.
I think at the time that like it felt like the Lord was taking that dream away, it felt a little confusing, but I didn't feel hopeless. It felt more like, what? Like it felt like why I just spent like at that point 4 or 5 years doing this so that I could do something like this. Why are you taking this away? But at the same time, because he took it away, I was like, it wasn't like he was just saying no and I had all the passion and desire to go.
Yeah.
It was like he was saying no, not yet. And it kind of dimmed down in my heart. So like, I'm thankful for that because I think that made it feel a lot less hopeless. Mm-hmm. Like it felt like more just, okay, this is a little confusing, but like, I don't want to go right now. So I'm okay that he's not calling me to go right now.
Okay.
And then I felt like when I left upstate that I wanted to, it just felt like, even then it wasn't just like, oh, I'm ready to go. It just felt like, okay, it's time to apply for this.
Yeah.
And my life now, it makes sense too, the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. Like I'm probably not going to be able to do that next year or the year after that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like the timing for, I would have been so sad if I'd never done Mercy Ships.
Yeah.
And this year was like literally the perfect time just within my life with all the stuff, other stuff going on to do it. So yeah, that was really special and still like a trust exercise because yes, I felt like I was supposed to apply to Mercy Ship and it just worked out like bam, bam, bam. Yep. You're going to go.
Yeah.
But even right before I went, it felt like I wasn't just like, oh, I'm so ready to go. And and just like, it felt like it was confusing, honestly, then too. And I felt confused like the first 2 weeks I was there actually, because it didn't quite feel like how I thought it would.
Yep.
I wasn't just like, let's go. I was like, this is a really weird time for me to go, but this is the time when the Lord's allowing it to happen. So I feel like I need to choose to be obedient and choose to have faith and that he knows the timing of this. And
yeah.
And even like the first few weeks I was there, I felt like this was very humbling for me. The first few weeks I was there, I didn't just feel like it felt like a dream, kind of like, is this even real? Like, am I actually doing this? And it felt kind of like, I don't know. I just remember feeling, oh, this isn't what I thought it would feel like. And I don't just feel like I'm making a difference all the time or like seeing all these really cool things all the time or like, you know, like promotional videos don't help you see them. And it's like, everything's awesome all the time. And you're making saving this huge difference. And all these kids are smiling and laughing at you all the time. And like, if you pull a kid out of an ortho surgery and you just broke both of his legs, he's going to cry for the first 3 days. Yep. And you're there by yourself at night doing everything you can, medication wise, ice wise, trying to comfort them with words, even though you don't speak their language, like in the middle of the night, no doctors are around. Like that does not feel like, oh, I'm just making this huge difference all the time. And that was confusing when I first got there. Cause I was like, did I make a mistake?
Right.
Did I hear the Lord wrong? Like,
because you didn't feel like you were the one.
Cause
like,
I didn't just feel like to be there. It's what I was. Yeah. Like I was making a difference or like, is this even what I'm supposed to be doing? Okay, I'm here. It took me years to get here. Yep. took me 48 hours traveling to get here. Like, did I hear the Lord wrong for like 6 years? And this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And so that was hard for the first few weeks.
Yep.
But humbling because that's literally not what it's about. It's not about feeling like you make a difference, even though we'd love for it to, because that would give us some indication of like that we're doing the right thing or that we heard the Lord right. I remember I've heard several people say this over the last few weeks. And it's funny because I remember saying this, like, not just about Mercy Ships, about other things in life. I think when I was in my younger 20s, I said a lot like, if I just knew that that's what I was supposed to be doing, I would have peace about it. And I could do anything if I just knew that that's what the Lord had called me to do. Like, if I just knew that I wasn't going to get married till I'm 40, then I'll be fine.
Yep.
I can make it. I won't grumble or complain. I just need to know now. Do you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Or if I just knew where I'd work next year or that he was going to provide a job for me, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not actually true though. Yeah. We would grumble and complain because then we'd be like, how is this going to work out?
Yep.
What am I doing in the meantime?
Why
aren't I doing this yet? How am I going to get there? What are the next steps I need to take? And so like, I'm, thankful that the Lord knows more than I do. So yeah, that was really humbling, like the first few weeks, just to be like, okay, no, I'm here because the Lord asked me to, and I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to serve these patients, and I'm going to serve my coworkers and Mercy Ships, even if I don't feel like it or feel like I'm making this big difference all the time.
Yes.
And I definitely prayed for the Lord to give me those like aha moments.
Yes.
And he did. Like I had really just cool, like, what? I know that the Lord is here and using me moments, but it was also nursing and also 11 weeks of living my life. So sometimes it was just like, nope, I'm just doing life. I'm just happened to be doing it on a ship in the middle of Madagascar.
Yeah. That,
but that was a good lesson. I feel like to learn early on.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you bring that up that way, because I was going to ask you for like, I feel like if people are listening to this, especially if they're like younger women, because I think that's more the target audience or whatever, but even not younger women, like women in the day to day with like kids, marriage and like the quote unquote normal, like things that aren't like, oh, I'm going to Africa to serve as a nurse. How would you like speak to that? Because I feel like you had a lot of years of preparation where it was very mundane and very like, it's gonna make me cry. But like, Lord, where are you? Like, what are you doing? Because I'm trying to follow you, but like, it's so blurry. Like, it's so foggy. I don't know what this is for. Yeah. And so to be like, oh, wow, I'm here now. And then the enemy's still like, yeah, so like, what if you're wrong? And you're like, crap. Like, what if I am? I'm crying because this is very like right now for me today. Like, okay, but why am I with these people or this group? Or why am I in Syracuse still? Like, can I be done with this season now? Because you're not bringing to fruition the way I thought you would or whatever. And now you have like, you say a lot on this podcast, like hindsight is 2020. It's always like easier to look back. Like even now, probably like looking back the last few months when you were in Madagascar being like, oh wow, he was really working through that. Or like he really used that thing or like that moment he really redeemed or whatever. But like how, what would you say to people who are like, yes. And also like, and I know for you coming home, it's probably still like, okay, now I'm back in the ED. Yeah. Like it's day to day. Like what? But I don't know, just like when you work or when you live in the day to day, the second minute, hour, like those, it can be so slow.
Yep.
But how did you keep up like your hope slash your like faith in the Lord to be like, actually, I know that he is working through this right now because he's God and I'm not. Yeah. And like, I don't have to just know.
Yeah. I think one of the things like I'm trying to find where I journaled about it. Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, I think some of it at the beginning is just, like, when I, like, the first literal day I got there, I wasn't even to the ship yet. I was like, I want to go home. And what am I doing here? And, like, and to just know that, like, some of serving the Lord, actually all of serving the Lord, is literally just dying to yourself and carrying your, picking up your cross and carrying it. And if that feels like death, that's how it's supposed to feel. Which really sucks. But when we fellowship with Christ in his suffering and in his death, then we can also fellowship with him in his resurrection and things like that. Not to say that like leaving for 3 months for home from home and like giving up stuff was like dying, but like it was dying to some things and to timing and to control and things like that.
Yep.
But yeah, especially something I thought about a lot, especially just, people would kind of make the comment to me, like, who were here, either like, oh, this is such a great thing you're doing and I'm just home doing this. Yep. Or like, yeah, just comments like that, that are about me going somewhere specifically and serving and them being home. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but like in the kingdom, that's not what it looks like. It's not Megan's in Africa and you're home in Lewis County. And those are two different things. It's, are you being obedient to what the Lord is asking you to do right now? Mm-hmm. And there's a verse, that's what I'm trying to find.
Yeah.
Romans 12. Romans 12 is really good for me. I spent a lot of time in Romans 12 when I was on the ship, because verse 1 is that present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. Verse 6 is one that I really like mulled over in my head a lot. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then it talks about all the gifts of the Spirit. But the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So the first part, just the grace that is differing according to the grace that is given us. So to me, that means that God has given us different gifts and with a specific measure of grace to do that gift. Mm-hmm. So for the season of life that I was in, he gave me grace to do that gift. Just like when I was working at Upstate, I felt like he gave me the grace to do that and then it was gone. Mm-hmm. Well, he's giving other people grace to do their gifting here for those 3 months when I was gone. And maybe even when I get back, he's giving me new grace now to do grace to do the gifting that he's calling me into
right now
to exercise right now.
Yeah.
So it can't be a, well, she's doing this and I'm doing this and he's doing this and whatever. It's, what is the grace that the Lord is giving me right now to be able to operate in the giftings, which he's calling me to operate in right now. Like, that's what it has to be. So then there's no comparison. There can't be comparison. It's, what is the Lord calling me to do right now? And it can't be side to side or horizontal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the last part of the verse is, let us use them. And that was really encouraging to me, because I feel like stereotypically the other end of that is people like know that they have gifts and use them and are maybe prideful with them and like kind of showy and over the top. And I've always been the other end that's like, I'm not going to use my gifts because I don't want to appear prideful and I don't want to appear like I have my whatever all together and I'm better than somebody else or whatever. Yep. And that is actually just as dishonoring to the Lord as the other way, as being prideful. To not use your gifts is actually just as dishonoring to the Lord as to like use them in a prideful way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was really encouraging for me to learn on this trip, like even stepping out in confidence being a nurse and with all the skills that I brought, like to do that is actually honoring to the Lord. Like, yes, we need to be humble, but like that can actually be as prideful as like the other way is.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was really helpful for me. Yeah, because I had a lot of imposter syndrome, like going into this experience.
Yep.
Like I truly felt like I was going to get on the ship and they were going to be like, you're not a real nurse. You can't be here. You need to go home. And I genuinely did. Such imposter syndrome. It's so bad. And that just stems from like lack of confidence in my gifts.
Yep.
Is what it is. Yeah. And I felt like the Lord told me, like, I guess I'll just read this. I guess I can't be an imposter if that grace is meant for me. Like if it's meant for Megan to be able to walk in my giftings, it's an individual grace for my gifts. Grace given to me specifically by the Lord so that I can use my gifts. You can't be an imposter with that grace. Mm. It's mine. It's my grace from him. And so I love that. That was really just cool to me that like, okay, no, it's grace for Megan specifically for this season.
Yeah.
To be able to use the giftings, and it's grace for Sally specifically for your giftings for the season you're in right now. Yeah. And that just takes away comparison and it takes away imposter syndrome. Like it actually can't stand like there if it's grace specifically from the Lord for the specific season that you're in.
And if you like believe that that is like what you just wrote mm-hmm. you know, you're journaling to yourself or whatever. Like, if that's what you believe while you're doing what you're doing, then the devil can't come and be like, well, but actually, like, see how you just, because mm-hmm. he can even do that with, like, specific actions where someone will come up to you and be like, so usually we're going to do it this way, not that way. And it's like, I knew I couldn't. I knew that I wasn't, you know, like mm-hmm. all of those mm-hmm. things. At least that's what I can relate to in some ways, like with my job right now yeah. as an MA. But I've also realized, like, one of the strengths that I guess I knew, but I didn't think would be that valuable in a medical scenario, because who cares, is like stick withness. Like, I just show up to work. Like, my coworkers mm-hmm. have said to me, like, after the first week, we thought you were just going to quit because yeah. like, it was too much. Like, I'm not really qualified. I knew how to
yeah.
do venipuncture.
Yeah.
And I walked into a medical assistant job. Like, I barely knew how to like get vitals with a machine because yep. I just have never been exposed yeah. to it. But then now, like, my manager's like, Sally, we would take you full time if you didn't have school. Like, we yeah. would just love to have you here. I'm like, really? Because I don't bring that much to the table.
I think, like, employers really appreciate people who are just willing to show up
right.
and who are willing to learn.
Yeah.
I think that makes a huge difference to people. Because if you're just not willing to learn, you're done already. If you're not yeah. someone who's teachable, you're done already. You're not going to advance at all because yeah. you're never going to hear other people's advice.
Right.
But if you're like, no, I'm actually willing to learn and be taught and be humble, like, you can be molded.
Yeah. 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 Which is wild. And I still fall a little bit too on the, like, I don't want to use my giftings side. Mm-hmm. I think, like you were saying, where I won't, like, I just don't want to take over where it's not my place to.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes you shrink back more than you should. Like, yeah. I've been like, oh, well, that just never say anything. And yeah. then they're like, wait, you could have done that? Like, you're fine with that? And I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
Then do it. Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't know. Am yeah. I qualified? Am I allowed to do that?
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I didn't realize, like, how much, like, lack of confidence and, like, low self-esteem obviously can be harmful for you. But, like, that it's actually, like,
pulls the team down kind of thing.
Yeah, because along with all of this is all the verses that talks about we're members of the body. And all of the parts of the body need to work. And that was really cool to, like, kind of sit on that verse, too. Literally sitting in a hospital
yeah.
where they were doing, like, ortho surgeries.
Yeah.
Like, to read about, like, all the ligaments and bones yeah. need to come together and work together for the edification and the profit body. Of the whole body.
Yeah.
And that was a big part too, that, like, yeah, I'm just sitting here in the ward. Like, I'm just a ward nurse. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And there's people in the OR, there's doctors, there's this. But, like, every single part of it needs to work together to make the whole body function.
Yeah.
And that's just like me in Africa versus someone at home versus me here now versus somebody in Africa. Like,
right.
we're all, as the church too, the global church, like, we're all have our part in the body.
Yeah.
And yeah, a hand doesn't say to a foot, you're no good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, we yeah. all need to be working together
right.
for the edification of the church.
Yeah. Sometimes easy to see someone's, even their mundane, and see how it could be holy, yeah. but look at your own and not.
Ooh.
And I think that, like, being able to, like, look at someone else's and be like, wow, I can see how, like, for me, my sisters are being moms, like my sister-in-law and my sister. Yeah. And that's, like, huge and it's beautiful and they need to be there with their kids right now. Mm-hmm. They could have things on their heart that they haven't gotten to do yet that they thought maybe they would get to and are waiting on the Lord for.
Yeah.
But they're also doing holy things in the meantime. Yeah. Okay. And then same on the other, in the other areas of life mm-hmm. where someone might feel like for me, like, why am I in Syracuse of all places still? Yeah. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And how is this in any sense of the word holy? But it's, people talk about the, like the quilt. No, not quilt. What is that called? When you, like, I don't know, a tapestry, that's what it's called. The back of it, if you look at it, like, yeah. it's really, really messy.
Yeah.
But then when you flip it over, it makes a picture, and, like, each thread has its purpose yeah. to make the whole picture. And it's the same idea as what you're saying with
yeah,
the body, where, like, it does create something, but if you're not doing your part, then you're pulling away from the body.
Yeah.
But if you're doing your part, then you're able to actually build that whole mm-hmm. picture or that whole body or whatever, however you want to think of it. And then it works. Yep. And so to discredit yourself and to pull yourself out of the whole, you know, unification mm-hmm. process of that, then you're actually doing a disservice
doing
to the
harm.
Whole body.
Yeah. yeah.
And 100%. That's hard because sometimes you will look at the foot and be like, well, can I just be the one that goes instead yeah. of the freaking eye that just sits here and yeah. sees? Like, could I just be going and doing things?
Yeah.
But you get to be a part of yeah. like what you were doing in Mercy Ships, I also get to benefit from by being in the body.
Yeah.
And what they're doing by parenting, I get to benefit from yep. too. And the whole kingdom does.
Yeah.
If that's we good. Do our part.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, but
it is. And I remember, like, even she's saying that, brought up, I had a moment just with the Lord before I even knew that I was going to go to Mercy Ships officially, like back in the fall, where I felt like it was really good that I had this, but it was really hard. somebody gave a sermon basically, and at the end of it, I was like on my knees, like, am I gonna go for the right reasons even? Like, I think the point of the sermon was basically like, basically like, are you doing things because you think that you need to earn God's love?
Yep.
And I literally had to wrestle with that. Like, am I going because I feel like I owe God back for the cross, which first of all, I can never repay that. So I'm going to fall short every time.
Yeah.
But like, am I doing it out of like this, I feel like I have this duty, and because I say I'm a Christian, yep, I need to look this way and yep, do this way. And I went to Bible school, so I need to do missions.
Yep.
Or instead, am I like first so overcome by the love that God has for me and so secure in that, that out of that, then I'm compelled to serve and to love him and to love his people. Like, it has to be that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just not going to be, you're actually going to be, find out that you're super unfulfilled because you're never going to be able to pay God back.
Yeah.
In that way that you feel like you need to.
And I think that that is a valuable, at least what comes to mind for me is like, when you are faithful in little, you can be faithful in much. It's not even like, I don't know, like it's not just about a qualifier of like, okay, I have to do little so I can get to the big. Mm-hmm. But like, if your character and like that perseverance, I think you talked about in a post you put on Facebook, like if that's not built, mm-hmm, then you can't withstand mm-hmm the fire, the trial, whatever, of the bigger like things to be faithful in. And I think that that's something that I'm recently like with, I mean, my medical assistant job is only part-time and my schooling is full-time. So I do those two things, but they can feel really like mundane. Like I show up for half the day and then leave, all my coworkers keep working. Then I go home and study, and it can feel really like, so what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm really like helping anything or anyone. And like, am I serving the Lord that well? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then like, if I'm not able to be faithful in those things and I'm only looking at, well, I want to do something like what Megan did. Mm-hmm. So if I can't do that, then I'm like, mm-hmm, what is this? I don't really care. And it's like, no, if you can't serve God faithfully and show up for your coworkers and support them and listen and love, mm-hmm, then why do you think that you're going to be able to listen and love that little kid that just came out of surgery and bawling? Because you're going to sit there and be like, I don't know what to do. I had no preparation for this.
Yeah.
But if you're able to be faithful, and that's not to say you feel like perfectly equipped. You're still, you were saying like you're there and you're like, oh, but you're in a place of humility where you've been serving the Lord in all the things. So when you go to do this thing, you're not like, crap. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you realize, oh, I haven't called on the Lord to help me and like trusted him. You for have been. And so you're able to like sit in that moment, still being like, crap, I'm unworthy, but having that like, that faithfulness that you've had for the Lord.
Yeah. That's good.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay.
Yeah, and for sure, even, I mean, this is why there can't be any comparison, because even after 3 months, I was like, wait, I spent 6 years prepping for that, but it's over in 3 months? maybe it's not. Like, I don't think it is. I think the Lord's going to keep using my skills, and I'm still working as a nurse, and who knows what the future is like. But to think, like, it could be. It could have been 6 years of prep to be done in 3 months. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not for me to decide. Mm-hmm. Like I think that for those 3 months, I needed to be there for my coworkers, for those specific patients, just like I needed them.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, who knows?
Yeah.
And that some of that, a lot of that is just, I might never know this side of eternity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, which is hard.
Yeah. No, for sure. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just loved it. Yeah. It definitely wasn't, again, like just
sunshine and rainbows.
It wasn't just sunshine and rainbows and you just feel like great all the time because it was still nursing. But it was cool because by the end it did feel like the Lord was reminding me like, and it did feel like this is a dream come true. Like this is something I've been dreaming about for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this is a dream come true, even though it was hard and it was long and I wanted to be home and I miss people here. And it didn't always feel like I was making a difference. It was a dream, like literally come true.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad I did it. And lots of just sweet patients who are in my heart forever mm-hmm. now. And just some cool encounters. Yeah. With them, different stories and people because I was with peds a lot and I was specifically there during the orthopedic block, which is really cool. Special for me. Cause I really like ortho.
Okay.
But with those kids, any kid who has like a deformity in African culture specifically can be like pretty outcasted in their community.
Yeah.
And so we had patients who were like sexually assaulted, sexually abused, come from those kinds of homes.
Yeah.
Or just who were ostracized from school and weren't able to go back to school because they were getting picked on so much or things like that. And I'll just tell one story because I love the story.
Yes.
But we had a teenage girl. We had a few teenage girls, a handful of them, and they were my favorite. I just loved connecting with them. Like, the little kids were cute and, of course, like, so sweet. But I loved the teenage girls. They were so sweet. And by the end, like, they're there for, like, 4 weeks just literally laying in bed with their two casted legs because we broke both their legs if they're bow-legged. And feeding them nutrition drinks that they hate and making them do exercises and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a couple girls who just always were smiling and just had such a good attitude. And there's this one girl who she had to go back to surgery multiple times just because of complications. And her mom, this was totally different. I've never experienced anything like this in nursing. The parents are just like, do what you gotta do. Like, we're here for you to help us. So do what you gotta do. They didn't complain. They helped us. They never said like a bad word. Like, so different from nursing in America. Yes. That was really refreshing. That was definitely something I was worried about coming back. Like, Lord, you're gonna have to renew my compassion for obese COPDers with heart failure. But anyway, is that a different topic?
I can't. You're so right.
Anyways, so she had to go back to surgery, and I was actually charge nurse the night that we found out. And it was really, really hard to like be in that meeting and with the translators and the surgeons, and I as a charge nurse and her bedside nurse and one of my best friends on the ship who was the head of the OR nursing. We're all there and telling her, and she was trying to like hold it together, and like the doctors left and we're like, we're just going to shut the curtain. And she just like cried for a little bit because she had to go back to surgery and get a setback. And I told her, like, I'm going to put your IV in before we go to bed. Like, we're just going to get it done. I didn't want anybody else poking her in the morning because I knew I could get it and just be done with it.
Yeah.
And so me and her bedside nurse went in, put her IV in, and she was getting ready for bed. And we just asked her if we could pray with her before she went to sleep, and just prayed over her. And me and the other bedside nurse were crying, and she was just kind of like just sitting kind of psalm or whatever. And we had the translator with us, and like, it had been weeks that she'd been with us at that time. And I just told her, like, we just love you so much. And like, you're our girl, like, you're ours. And just want you to know, like, how special you are to us. And she just started crying. And we just hugged her and kind of tucked her in, and she fell asleep. And the translator came up to me after, and he goes, she started crying because you said that you loved her and that she was yours. And like, because people didn't say that to her before. Like, maybe her mom did, but like, she was outcasted in her community and in her school and by her friends. And so for us to like claim her as ours, like, she was, she's our girl. Like, she'll always be my girl. Like, he was like, that's why she was emotional and crying, is because you said that. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, yeah, to be able to just speak, I guess, just belonging and identity over a little girl was really special. And to just be able to love on her while she was in pain and having another unwanted surgery, and to fix a problem we created, basically. And yeah, stuff like that. So there's definitely moments like that when it was just really special, and it felt like, okay, I'm here for a reason and for a purpose, and making specific connections with these patients. And that was really, really special. And yeah, definitely girls like her and some of the other ones, they'll be in my heart forever. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Really special.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. I didn't think to ask of stories.
Yeah.
Or at least not remembering from my page there that I had in Syracuse.
That
is very cool. Yeah. And I think, I mean, from watching you too, like, that's something that you desire to, and already do, like, in your community here. Like, you speak life into the people around you, and you speak identity and belonging to people in your circle, just like people have done for you. And so to, like, also get to do that there and be like, wow, it's just, like, so God to, like, like, again, use your strengths and your abilities and your gifts to, like, pour into people who you're serving.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very interesting being back in nursing here. And Yeah. That's a different conversation. Trudging along for sure.
Yeah.
But trying to be obedient and definitely seeing the Lord work here too. So
yeah,
he's faithful for sure. But yeah, if anybody wants to check out what Mercy Ships is doing, get on Instagram, follow them.
Yeah.
And if you're a nurse or a physical therapist or a nutritionist or a doctor or want to go and work in housekeeping or in the cafeteria or in the cafe, like there's so many different jobs, or just like literally the Hope Center as a volunteer. There's so many opportunities to volunteer for Mercy Ships.
So cool.
And it's definitely life changing.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. That Thanks was for asking such me. A blessing.
Yeah.
So cool. I've been looking forward to hearing about it. And I feel like it's been so long because starting November, how they flip.
I don't even know where the last
2 months.
2 months have gone.
It's crazy.
I know where they've gone, but yeah.
No, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
Aw.
For sure.
All right. We'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. Later.